श्री भगवान उवाच मया वेश्य मनो ये मां नित्य युक्ता उपासते श्रद्धया परयोपेतास तेमे युक्ततमा मतः. Supreme Personality of Godhead said, those who fix their minds on my personal form and are always engaged in worshipping me with great and transcendental faith are considered by me to be most perfect. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In answer to Arjuna's question, Krishna clearly says that he who concentrates on his personal form and who worships him with faith and devotion is to be considered most perfect in yoga. For one in such Krishna consciousness, there are no material activities because everything is done for Krishna. A pure devotee is constantly engaged. Sometimes he chants. Sometimes he hears or reads books about Krishna. Or sometimes he cooks prasadam or goes to the marketplace to purchase something for Krishna. Or sometimes he washes the temple or the dishes. Whatever he does not let a single moment pass without devoting his activities to Krishna. Such action is in full samadhi. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, those who fix their minds on my personal form and are always engaged in worshipping me with great and transcendental faith are considered by me to be most perfect. Hare Krishna. It's my great pleasure to be with all of you this evening. We have come together due to the great love that Krishna Chandra Prabhu and Radha Priya Mataji have for their daughter, Radha Dasi, and their future son-in-law, Mukunda Prabhu. In just a few days, their marriage will take place. But my understanding is, in order to create an environment of most auspiciousness, they wanted to have this program to serve and to please all of the devotees, relatives, and friends. And the greatest pleasure for the hearts of pious souls is to come together to hear and chant the glories of the Lord in association of devotees, to take Krishna's prasad amongst one another. When devotees are pleased, Krishna's blessings come through their hearts. Some people approach sadhus asking for blessings. But the actual way of getting real blessings is to please the Vaishnavas. When our service and affection please a devotee, and their hearts are satisfied by that, then Krishna within their heart reciprocates and bestows blessings upon us. Whereas, if we displease a Vaishnava or disturb a Vaishnava in the name of asking blessings, what kind of blessings will we get? There's a well-known story, many such stories, where materialistic people would literally attack Srila Prabhupada, demanding blessings from him. In the name of being very surrendered, submissive, and desperate for his mercy. They would just approach him, practically stand right in front of him when he was walking, and said, "Swamiji, please, please, be merciful to me and give me your blessings." And Srila Prabhupada would try to walk away. They would say, "No, no, Swamiji, you cannot go. You must please give me your blessings. Give me your blessings." Srila Prabhupada said to this one man, "I bless you that your material life will be finished." The man fell to the ground unconscious. Then he woke up and said, "Swamiji, I didn't mean that kind of blessing." And Prabhupada walked away. If you want blessings from someone, it's not that you demand it. You serve them with attention. You hear from them with submissiveness. And when they're pleased with you, then naturally their blessings come from the core of their hearts. Because actually, the only person who can give blessings is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. He is the source of all blessings. He is the source of everything. And a devotee, when he is pleased, he reciprocates with affection toward you. And through that affection, Krishna bestows his blessings. And those blessings have the power to help us to overcome every possible obstacle in life. And without those blessings, real advancement on the spiritual path is simply impossible. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami prayed that I am lame. I'm a crippled man. I'm practically blind. I'm old like an invalid, physically. And spiritually, I'm even worse. How will I tread this great path of devotion? The stick of the mercy of the Vaishnavas I am depending upon. That will hold me up and carry me to the end of the road of devotional service. That is knowledge. That we are specifically depending on the mercy of great souls. Otherwise, we have no strength. We have no capacity to overcome the obstructions that Maya will put before us. But how do we get that mercy? That mercy comes through reciprocation. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshatite jnanam jnaninastvata darshana. When we approach the spiritual master, we inquire submissively with an eagerness to render service. That submissive desire to serve naturally pleases the spiritual master. And then from the core of his heart, his blessings and his mercy comes upon us through his words, through his prayers. And in those blessings is all the power of the Supreme Lord himself. Therefore, Krishna has said to Uddhava in Bhagavat Puran, "Mad bhakta puja yadika," that to serve my devotee is more pleasing to me than serving me. Because that is the nature of love. One's existence is more identified in the relationship one has with one who loves than one's identity within oneself. Therefore, we see so many names of Krishna that please him the most indicate his relations with his devotees. We call him Yashoda Nandan, Devaki Nandan, Nanda Nandana, Radha Raman, Radha Nath, Radha Kanta, Gopinath, Partha Sarathi. These names of Krishna are most dear to him because they especially remind him of the loving affection of his devotees. Thus, when we please the devotees, Krishna's mercy is automatically there. Action is a more powerful statement than words. If we're actually in the spirit of service, that activity in Krishna's heart will be heard that you're really begging for his mercy. Of course, it is very important to pray. Bandhanam is one of the 9 processes of devotional service. We should be praying for mercy. We should be begging for mercy. But on the path of bhakti, everything's substance is situated in our service attitude. We may be praying for mercy, but if we're not active, eager to serve, then that prayer will not be taken seriously. So there's a wonderful example taking place this evening. This is not just an ordinary social event. This is the message that the world most desperately needs to understand. That if you want anything to be truly successful in life, you have to be blessed by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, Krishna. And if you want that mercy, honestly and sincerely, you have to please the devotees by serving them, by giving them an opportunity to find pleasure in Krishna consciousness. So this wonderful arrangement, the prasad, the katha, the kirtan, is all simply to give pleasure to all the Vaishnavas. It is said by Krishna himself, Tatra tishtami narada yatra gayanti madbhakta. When and where my devotees come together to chant my holy names, I am in that place. That is Krishna's favorite place to be. And where Krishna is, everything becomes auspicious, because Krishna is the source of all auspiciousness. All of the invocations of auspiciousness, according to the Vedas, come by invoking the names and the qualities of God. Everything becomes supremely auspicious where the congregational chanting of the holy names is taking place by sincere and attentive devotees. In fact, Srimad Bhagavatam explains the supreme most of all auspicious activities is the sankirtan of the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Why, when the devotees come together to chant, is this the supremely most auspicious activity in the entire universal creation according to the scriptures? It's because Krishna is pleased to make himself present in that place. We are reading tonight from Sri Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna is describing that those who are always meditating upon his personal form and engaged in worshiping him in a spirit of devotion and faith they are considered by him to be the most
perfect.
Bhakti is personal. The whole essence of bhakti is reciprocation of affection, of love, of service. Without that, we don't really understand what is devotional service. Bhakti is not simply rituals for the sake of rituals, or yajnas for the sake of yajnas. Bhakti is the reciprocation of love and devotion between the jivatma, the spirit soul, and the supreme soul, or Krishna. There's a beautiful example of reciprocation of love in the Leela of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, there are unlimited such examples. But one comes to mind by the Lord's grace this evening. One evening, at the time of the sunset, Lord Chaitanya, who was then a young man living in Navadvip of the name Vishwambhar, he went along with his friends to the banks of the river Ganges. As he was approaching Ganga, Ganga Devi saw him coming. She became ecstatic in love. Her current became exceptionally fast. She began to flood on both sides of her banks, and the sound emanating from her was roaring like thunder. Meanwhile, every evening in Navadvip, thousands and thousands of people would come to the river Ganga. The Brahmins would come to perform their pujas. The ladies would come with their water pots. The Bhattacharyas, Mishras, Acharyas, and Pandits would come to offer their obeisances. People were worshipping Mother Ganga with incense and fragrances, flowers, garlands, singing beautiful sweet prayers, thousands of people offering their dandavat obeisances to Ganga Devi. But they could not understand, why is Ganga rushing so fast? Why is she overflooding? Why is she roaring so loud? There's no clouds in the sky. It's not the rainy season. There's no reason for this. They could not understand. Amongst those people, there was one Brahmin. He was a very, very great devotee of the goddess Ganga. And because of his devotion to her, she revealed to him the truth. He happened to see Ganga flowing so fast. He was wondering, why is this happening? What type of festival is Ganga Devi celebrating today? No one can understand. Then he saw the beautiful golden form of Lord Gauranga. Lord Gauranga offered his obeisances to Ganga Devi. As he was looking upon her, his eyes became red like the rising sun, and tears of ecstatic love were flowing from his eyes. Upon seeing Ganga Devi, his hairs were standing on end. It appeared that his body was in such ecstasy, it doubled into two forms. He was trembling, seeing his devotee. As he was in this ecstasy seeing Ganga Devi, Ganga Devi's ecstasy was increasing. And she was overflowing more and more and more, rushing to where the Lord was. Although he was far from her bank, she overflowed just so that she could wash his lotus feet. And upon touching his lotus feet, she was not satisfied. She wanted to serve him more and more and more. The Lord, with his friends, in great ecstatic love, they entered into the Ganga. And as the Lord was in the Ganges, in his heart of hearts, as he was submerged within her, he was embracing her. This brought him so much ecstasy that tears were flowing, his hair standing on limb, trembling more and more and more. And Ganga Devi was embracing him in ecstatic love. And it says that in order to welcome him with sweet words, she sent very, very special waves of love to bathe his body. And tears were flowing out of her eyes, which made streams coming in hundreds of directions, all flowing to the ocean. When this Brahmin saw that, he could understand that Lord Gauranga is the supreme personality of Godhead. He's the very source, the master, and the lover of the Mother Ganga. He approached Lord Chaitanya and offered his prostrated obeisances and said to Lord Gauranga that by the mercy of Mother Ganga, I can understand who you are. You are the Supreme Lord. You are the ultimate object of everyone's devotion. And Mother Ganga is performing this miraculous pastime just to serve you and show her love for you. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then smiled at the Brahmin and went home. The people were confused, but the Brahmin explained, "I will tell you what just happened. Some time back, one day, Lord Shiva, he was ecstatically engaged in Harinam Sankirtan, loudly chanting Krishna's holy names with such enthusiasm that Narada Muni appeared to accompany him playing his veena. Their kirtan became more and more and more filled with joy. Then Ganesh appeared and began playing a mridanga. Soon the three of them were having this wonderful kirtan, chanting the holy names of Krishna. Krishna, 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 Krishna. These three personalities, Shiva, Ganapati, and Narada Muniji, they fill the entire world with Harinam. And as Krishna promises, he always appears where his sincere devotees are chanting his name with love and devotion. So Krishna, in ecstasy, hearing this chanting, personally descended from Vaikuntha and appeared in their kirtan. Lord Shiva became all the more ecstatic to chant and dance for the pleasure of the Lord. Then Krishna said, "Please stop this chanting. Please stop. You do not know what this chanting will do to me. This chanting is so full of love and devotion that my body will become unstable and I will melt in ecstasy. Please stop." Lord Shiva began to laugh. He said, "Let me see the truth of whether your body actually melts in ecstasy." Then he began to chant even more enthusiastically than ever before. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Right before his eyes, Lord Sri Krishna's transcendental body began to melt. When Lord Shiva saw Krishna melting before his eyes, he became extremely fearful. He immediately stopped the kirtan and became very sober. Only a part of Krishna's body melted. But that part that melted is famous throughout the 14 worlds as the water which is the very personification of Krishna's mercy. Lord Brahma collected that water in his kamandalu and kept it very, very, very specially, knowing it to be very holy. How did that mercy come? That mercy was the result of the loving reciprocation between Krishna and his devotees. And the water that is contained in that kamandalu of Lord Brahma has the power to sanctify and purify anyone's heart. Why? Because it is the mercy that came through the reciprocation of love between Krishna and his devotees. Where that reciprocation of love takes place, that is where the Lord's mercy is truly present. Later on it is said, Lord Krishna gave that kamandalu of water to Bali Maharaj. That was the time when Krishna begged for 3 steps of land from Bali Maharaj. Bali was not only the king of the earth, he was the king of the heavenly worlds. He was so influential with his power that he conquered even the abode of Indra. You know Indra, he has his thunderbolt. And that thunderbolt could reduce mountains into piles of ashes. Amongst the demons, the asuras, there's nothing more feared than the thunderbolt of Indra. But Bali Maharaj, simply by seeing him, Indra became so fearful that he ran away in hiding. So Bali Maharaj conquered the universe. But the mother of the demigods, Aditi, she prayed. She prayed to Lord Vishnu that please help my children. She's a great devotee. That Aditi prayed with such devotion that to reciprocate with her love, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as her own child in the form of Vamanadeva. And just to please Mother Aditi, he went to Bali Maharaj's arena of sacrifice. This is an important principle to understand, that because Aditi prayed and served the Lord with such devotion, therefore the Lord reciprocated to rescue her children. Similarly, what is our hope? Can we attract Krishna's mercy? Do we have the power? Do we have the devotion? Do we have the purity of heart? But if the great devotees, if they pray for us, then naturally Krishna's mercy will be there to protect us. Therefore, we find the great acharyas always praying for the mercy and the blessings of great Vaishnavas. Because if they are pleased with us, they will pray for us, and their prayers will protect us. their instructions. If we follow the instructions of a great soul, then Krishna will certainly protect us. Not simply because we're following an instruction, but because we're reciprocating with the prayers of a great soul. When a Vaishnava is giving you instruction, along with that instruction is his prayer to Krishna to save you. And when you accept his instruction by following it, you're also reciprocating. And therefore you also attain the fruit of his prayer, which means Krishna will save you. He will protect you under all circumstances. That is his promise. When a Vaishnava is giving you instruction, along with that instruction is his prayer to Krishna to save you. And when you accept his instruction by following it, you're also reciprocating. And therefore you also attain the fruit of his prayer, which means Krishna will save you. He will protect you under all circumstances. That is his promise. So Vamanadeva went to Bali Maharaj and begged for 3 steps. Sukracharya understood that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's trying to cheat my disciple, Bali Maharaj. Right now, I'm in a good position. He's the master of the universe. I can get the best dakshina from him. Don't give him anything, Bali. He will cheat you. He's the Supreme Lord Vishnu. Bali Maharaj said, the purpose of Guru is to teach you how to surrender to Vishnu. If you're telling me not to surrender to Vishnu, then I kick you out. What Guru are you? So he told Vamanadeva that while you're asking only 3 steps, and you're a dwarf, your steps are so tiny, I can give you so much. Look at what I have. When you ask a big person for something very, very little, it's practically an insult. Bali Maharaj was a big person. He was the wealthiest man in the universe. Ask for a planet, ask for a kingdom, ask for anything. 3 steps of land. Vamanadeva replied, that you conquered the universe, and I'm just a little Brahmin. I'm a beggar. All I have is this little stick and this little begging pot. But I'm satisfied, because I'm content within myself. But you, with all of your wealth and all of your opulence and all of your influence and power, you're not happy. You're not satisfied. Because if a person is not satisfied within his own heart, he cannot be satisfied under any condition of life. So I don't require much. Just give me 3 steps. All right, you take these steps. Right before his eyes, Vamanadeva began to expand himself. So big. The first step, he covered the entire lower planetary systems and the Earth planet itself. The second step, he covered the rest of the universe up until the very end. And his toe pierced the covering of the universe. and the waters from the causal ocean came and washed his lotus feet. Then he asked Bali Maharaj, where shall I put my third step? You promised me three steps. You have nothing left to give me. Bali Maharaj said, I've given you all my wealth. All my prestige is finished forever. All my asura assistance ministers, they see now I'm in total poverty. I have nothing left. I only have one more thing to give you. My life. Please place your third step on the top of my head. Vamanadeva reciprocated and placed his foot on the top of Bali Maharaj's head. And from that day, Bali Maharaj is famous throughout the scriptures. Endless, immortal fame as that devotee who represents the ninth process of devotional service in its most perfect state, Atmanivedanam, one who surrendered everything to the service of the Lord. Anyways, the river Ganges was flowing from the lotus feet of Krishna. And as river Ganges was flowing from the lotus feet of Krishna, Lord Brahma came with his Kamandalu to wash the lotus feet of Krishna. And that water mixed with the Ganges. And the great Brahman explained that when Ganga Devi saw Lord Gauranga, she was remembering how her origin is from his lotus feet. She was remembering that ecstatic kirtan of Shiva, Narada, and Ganesh. And when all these thoughts came to her heart, she became so overwhelmed with ecstatic love for Lord Gauranga. And that love manifested through her flooding over her banks, going way, way to wherever Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet were, so that she could bathe them and serve them. So this is an example of bhakti, reciprocation. The Lord loves to please those devotees who give their hearts to him, and the devotees love to please the Lord who gives his heart to them. Throughout the scriptures, we find this most beautiful and sweet reciprocation of love. And it is this that is our goal in life. But bhakti, or reciprocation of love, is a purely personal conception. We must understand that Krishna is a person. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachit Ananda Vigraha Anadira Dir Govinda Saravakarana Karanam. He is the Supreme Person. We are all his parts and parcels. And what satisfied his parts and parcels most in this world? It is reciprocation of love. And similarly, why are we all looking for love within this world? Because that's our nature, to love Krishna and to be loved by Krishna. And without that love, our life is quite empty and meaningless. And modern society creates immense volumes of technology and various forms of entertainment just to somehow or other distract your mind away from the loneliness and emptiness of your heart. Just a generation or two back in India, people were very satisfied coming together every evening to hear Ramayana, Mahabharata, Srimad Bhagavat Katha. And after hearing the glories of the Lord, They would play their harmoniums, their madangas, their karathals, and sing the beautiful names of Krishna in kirtan. Were satisfied. They'd sleep dreaming of Krishna's pastimes, of Lord Ramchandra's pastimes. Their hearts were pure, and in that pure state they were generous, they were compassionate, they were loving toward each other. But because that culture is being forgotten, we have to replace it with something. Because our lives are empty. So human society is creating so many artificial means to try to forget the loneliness and emptiness of our lives. To try to somehow or other get our attention away from the utter futility of our existence. We eat, we sleep, we mate, we develop some empire, then we die. And in the process, there's so many frustrations, so many things that just don't work out right. So many things that are just not supposed to happen. Within our occupation, within our family, within our health. You can't be happy in a place of Dukkalaya Mashashwatam. Krishna certifies that this material world is a place of suffering. Of course, we all want to think we know better than Krishna, the Creator. So therefore we create so much technology, so much modern conveniences, comforts, so many forms of entertainments, just to replace the simple process of hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. But that satisfies the heart. Nothing else will. So reciprocation with the Lord is the real purpose and goal of human existence. Sometimes it is said, as a quote from Srimad Bhagavatam, that when you put water on the root of the tree, every part of the tree is satisfied. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mat sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. Krishna is the root, the source of everything that exists. If you please Krishna, your whole life will be satisfied. Krishna is only pleased by one thing, pure, unalloyed devotion. Sometimes we're doing some service for Krishna. Why are we not in ecstasy? Why are we not completely satisfied? Why our mind and our senses are still troubled with so many other desires and attachments? Because our devotion is not pure. Purifying our heart is a lifelong process. But only that pure devotion will actually water the root of the tree and satisfy it. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said, Gopi Bhartur Pada Kamalayora Dasa 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 Anudas, that the perfection of life is to be the servant of the servant of the servant. You cannot approach Krishna directly. You have to approach Krishna through his devotees. If you serve the devotees, Krishna is pleased. If you serve the suffering fallen souls, Krishna is pleased. This is quite practical. Because when a tree is in the ground, can you directly water the root? T- Tomorrow at Radha Gopinath Temple, we're going to have a small ceremony where we're going to have a wonderful historical event, hopefully. Nothing is historical without the mercy of Krishna. Man proposes, God disposes. But for the pleasure of Sri Radha Gopinath, in that nice little garden that you all take prasad, we will be planting a kadamba tree. Because the kadamba tree represents Srimati Radharani. The complexion of the tree is similar to Sri Radharani. And it's considered the personification of the mercy of Sri Radharani, the kadamba tree. And therefore, because it is so much dear to Radharani, the kadamba tree is the tree that is most dear to Krishna. In Vrindavan, so many of his wonderful leelas take place under the kadamba trees. At Govardhan, during the spring Ras Leela, he plays his flute to call his gopis under a kadamba tree. When he went to subdue Kaliya, he jumped from a kadamba tree. Many, many such stories. And the kadamba flowers are very dear to Lord Krishna. So when we water the tree, you have to put the water on the soil. And if you properly put the water on the soil, then it will get to the root. You cannot approach the root directly. So similarly, the devotees are like the soil that create an atmosphere around Krishna. And if we serve the devotees, if we please the devotees, if their hearts are satisfied by our humility and our devotion, then that service will be accepted by Krishna. And when he accepts, that is the fulfillment of all the expectations of our souls. So tonight we have a wonderful, wonderful environment of Vaishnavas together. Mr. Arvind Mafatlal and his good wife, Krishna Chandra Prabhu and Radha Priya, they have called this wonderful program to give you all satisfaction. The satisfaction of hearing about Krishna, chanting the names of Krishna, taking Krishna's prasad, being amongst Vaishnavas. And when all of your hearts are satisfied and pleased, then Srila Prabhupada will be pleased. That is watering the root of the tree. Then Krishna's unlimited blessings and mercy will be upon you. So for the coming marriage of Radha Devi and Mukunda Prabhu, out of their love, they want the greatest mercy and blessings upon them. Because they know that those mercy, the blessings of Vaishnava is the greatest wealth. It's something money cannot buy. A dowry of thousands of crores of rupees is not as precious as receiving the mercy of the Vaishnavas. And all that's required to get that mercy is that humble spirit to serve them and to please them. So we are very, very happy and very proud of this wonderful family for giving such a nice example of showing such essential priorities that we should all strive to live for in our lives. And at this particular time, it is my prayer at the holy feet of all the assembled devotees that you all kindly invoke the unlimited mercy of Sri Sri Radha Krishna by very, very attentively, with humble and sincere hearts, crying out the holy names. Nam Sankirtan is the Yuga Dharma. Krishna is manifested within his names. And when devotees in a congenial spirit of affection for one another loudly call out the holy names, at that time Krishna most manifests the mercy of his holy name and showers it upon all those who participate. And that emanates to cleanse the entire universe. Prem Sankirtan is that kirtan of love. We have to create an environment where Krishna will be actually pleased with our Sankirtan. Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnuna amani namanadena kirtaniya sadahari. When we are humble like blade of grass, tolerant like tree, ready to offer all respect for others and expect none in return, that humility creates a congenial environment of servitude. Not egoism. Not I'm better than you, I'm greater than you. In the Sankirtan of the holy name, everyone is simply Prabhu. And I am Das. That is Sankirtan. There's no question of this caste, that caste, this income bracket, this educational bracket. These are all relative considerations. When everyone sees each other as a servant of Krishna, when everyone gives up their egoism with humility, when there's a congenial environment of respect and service, forgiveness for others' faults and offenses, that environment creates such a powerful effect that when we chant the holy names together loudly from the heart, Krishna descends and creates the supreme, most auspicious blessing upon all of us. So it is my very sincere prayer that such type of kirtan we have this evening. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama,